In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born. Prokimenon, let all earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Shout joyfully to God, all you on earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. The great wonder of Christmas. Wonder of Christmas. Is the manifestation of God becoming man. In the gospel passage last night for those who came, the angels heralded the good news and accompanied those words, glory to God in the highest, with on earth peace and goodwill among men. In other words, lasting peace, lasting joy, lasting goodwill are given only in the person Jesus the Christ. And that's the reason for the season. A key theme to all the Nativity accounts are three words: seeking, encountering, and experiencing joy. Seeking, encountering, and experiencing joy. Last night we heard recorded or recounted to us these Jewish shepherds. They're poor. They're uneducated. They sought, they encountered, and they experienced joy. Today, we hear the gospel recounting to us the visit of the Magi. They're Gentiles. They were rich. They're the educated. They sought, they encountered, and they experienced joy. And it's just not shepherds and magi and general people. But when you read all the prayers, all the hymns of our liturgy, what you experience is that all the cosmos is rejoicing. The heavens, the angels, all on earth, a cave, a star, a wilderness, the entire cosmos is participating in this joy of the shepherds and the magi. Why? Because all the cosmos is experiencing and rejoicing at the manifestation of God becoming man. Now, on this particular Christmas day, we specifically recall the visit of the magi. And if your experience is that of mine throughout the years, oftentimes we're encountered with more questions than answers about this event in the gospel. Sometimes it leads people to skepticism, and other times it leads people to contemplation. Take, for example, these questions. People ask, well, how many magi were there? Because if you read carefully, it never says there's three. It just says these men from the east came. From where did they come in the east? Was it Baghdad? Somewhere in Chaldea? Somewhere in India? Somewhere in Persia? Were these magi magicians? Because that's where our word magician comes from the word magi. Were they priests? Were they philosophers? Who were they? We don't know. What was that star in the sky that they saw? Was it a comet? Was it a planet? Was it the Great Conjunction? Was it a supernova? Or was it simply a reference to the person Jesus the Christ. Those questions, after 2,000 years, do not have certain answers. And yet, really, at the end of it, it doesn't make any difference. Because all those questions miss the point of what Matthew's trying to teach us in today's gospel passage. What we know is this. These magi came from the east, and they weren't Jewish. Which is telling us that God desires to give his peace and his lasting goodwill to every single human being. We know this too. That journey could not have been easy, just as any traveling in those days was most difficult, dangerous. They naturally went to King Herod, to the palace. Why? A king's been born. Where else would you go to find a newborn king but in a palace? They did not find the child, however, in the palace, but we know he was born in Bethlehem, a little quiet town, not that large, quiet, hidden away. And upon entering that cave, when the Magi see this Christ child, their response is one of adoration, one of worship. They fall prostrate before this little baby. And they present to this Christ child three gifts. Three gifts. And then what happens? Matthew tells us they go home by a different route. Of these few facts, let's focus on three of them. The Magi were seekers. They then found joy accompanied with worship and adoration when they encountered God. And these men went home by a different route. The Magi were seekers. That is actually a common theme in all of the Christmas accounts. The shepherds, last night's gospel passage, they were watchful by night. Therefore, because they were vigilant, they were able to hear the good news proclaimed, and they were ready to get up and respond to it. The Magi, they too are seekers. They were alert. They were vigilant. When they saw that star in the sky, they knew something was different. And they weren't tied down to this world, but they were ready to get up and travel to wherever that star would lead them. So the first lesson that we can learn from the account of the Magi is the importance to be spiritually awake, to be alert, to be vigilant to the things of God. Otherwise, you will miss him. You will miss him. How many parables speak of that? The parable of the Good Samaritan. There's a man lying on the side of the street and people just walked right by him. They missed God. The Magi studied nature and they were familiar with the ancient prophecies, both Jewish and pagan. So these men were alert spiritually. Their souls are awake. In our modern society, immersed in so many gadgets and so much business and, really, let's be honest, so many superficial things, are we attuned to the things of God? Are we aware of him and how he speaks to us in nature? Are we aware of how he speaks to us in the sacred scriptures? Do we read our sacred scriptures? Do we know the prophecies? Have you read Genesis? When was the last time you read Exodus? When was the last time you read Micah? Are we attuning our minds and hearts to how God speaks to us? Americans can speak intelligibly about sports, entertainment, politics, the latest technological devices. How many Catholics can speak intelligibly about the Word of God? Speak intelligibly about the person Jesus the Christ? Can speak intelligibly about the Catholic faith? Certainly that journey for these Magi was not an easy one. In fact, it was dangerous. It involved sacrifices. It endured and to endure hardships. And that's what it takes to see the God-man. It's no different for anybody on the journey of conversion, on the journey of metanoia, on the journey of becoming divinized. It's not easy. It demands perseverance. It demands patience. It demands sacrifice. It demands a self-emptying of disordered self-love. But, however, at the end, just as the Magi, there awaits the experience of a joy that transforms you from within, and it will bring you to the ground in adoration. The second lesson learned from the Magi is that any authentic encounter with God always includes patient endurance, always demands perseverance, always demands some sacrifice. But in the end, it will always end, the result will always be an experience of joy, an experience of adoration, an experience of worship. These men were brought to their knees, and that's what happens when we experience God in a true way. We don't so much do it as much as we're brought into that experience. The first act of the human person, as God tells us in the Ten Commandments, and as he tells us in his first great commandment of love, is to worship our God. And that was the first act of the Magi when they saw the God-man. They fell down before him. Our first act upon entering a sacred temple is a form of a prostration. It's a profound metony, a profound bow. And what are we doing? We're looking at the ground. And we take our hand and we touch the ground. That's the profound bow. Why? Because we're before Almighty God. And then we sign ourselves with a cross. That's the second lesson we learn from the Magi. May it give us pause then to reflect, to take an inventory, to review our own personal disposition, our own personal demeanor when we're in the presence of God, especially in the divine liturgy or at any liturgical service. Do we make the effort to be on time, whether to Vespers or to Divine Liturgy? Make the effort. Obviously, there are things outside our control. Do we sing attentively the hymns and the prayers and listen carefully to the sacred scripture readings? Do we make the acts of reverence with consciousness? Or is it just... No, it's a deliberate... with care. And the third lesson learned from the Magi, they returned home by a different route. Any authentic, true encounter with the Lord God, Jesus of Nazareth, will always result in a change of heart. We always walk away different people. In one's life, then, you begin to walk away from friendships and acquaintances that are not conducive to a life in Christ. You begin to walk away from those familiar places that are not conducive to Christ. You begin to renounce those comfortable habits and indulgences that are not conducive for a life in Christ. Seeking, encountering, and a conversion. Do these three words not explain accurately the divine liturgy? In every liturgical service, Friday nights and Sundays, what do? We come seeking God. That's the only reason why we come. And if the encounter is authentic during Vespers or during the Divine Liturgy, what happens? You will experience an authentic sense of joy. You will experience worship. You will experience adoration. And finally, you will walk away from any liturgical service on a different path, on a different road. It's called metanoia. Brothers and sisters, Christ is born.